Do I have to press 5 still?
Yeah.
Second. I don't think... No, it went off. Okay, so just a couple of things just to finish off with our discussion on Parshas Zohar. It says, L'chatchili yesh lahakpid. Yeah, yesterday you were all laughing when I said that in Ger, they said, yeah, Timcha Zaycha Mulek. They said, sorry, Timcha Zaycha Zucha Mulek. Zaycha Zecha Mulek, sorry. They say Zaycha Zecha, yeah? Question is, can a Yekka hear a chosid lining Parshas Zohar? Yeah? Or, yeah? The Yekka says Timcha es zeche amolek, yeah, and he hears, he goes to Ger and he hears Timcha zeicha zucha amolek, yeah, etc. Or what about a Sfaradi? Or an Ashkenazi listened to a Sfaradi. Yeah, I remember in Gated Yeshiva, nobody was allowed to make any other minyonim on Shabbos morning. There didn't exist that people could make a second minyan or a different minyan throughout the year. But for Parshas Zochor, the Rosh Yeshiva allowed that those people who had different minhogim were allowed to take a Sefer Torah, go into the different shir rooms, and the Sfaradim lined Sfaradi, and the Hasidim lined Hasidish, and the Yekkes lined Yekkish, in order, because we're talking about a Parsha Zocho, which is Midoraisa, and therefore we want to get it absolutely right. And in fact, that's the first time in my life that I heard the Nusach of the Temanim. Because besides the Sfaradim, they've got their own Nusach. And I remember the person I heard him lining, and I never knew this, yeah, he lined Ve'ato Oyef V'yogea, yeah, and he lined Ve'ato Oyef, like we do, they say the commas like we do, V'yogea, but their gimel is a J, yeah. They have that sound in their dictionary, yeah, so therefore, yeah, so he says here, Lechatchila one should be makpid, he brings down Poskim, but he says,
what?
I don't know about the Temanim, I don't remember. The Sfaradim, we said, don't make any difference the whole year round between Zecher and Zecher. Right? They say Zecher, always. So therefore, that's not a problem for them. But Temanim, maybe they do, I don't know. I can't remember. I only heard it once in my life. I'm just very interested to listen to it. He says here, L'chatchila, yes, b'diyeved, if a Temani heard a Sfaradi, or a Temani heard an Ashkenazi, or an Ashkenazi heard a Chosid, etc., etc., b'diyeved, yoyotze. But lachatchila, if you can listen to your own nusach, the poet brings down b'shem here, Poskim, the Arizal was an Ashkenazi, and he davened in Tzfas amongst the Sfaradim, and the Arizal was yoyotze, although he was an Ashkenazi, with the kriya of the Sfaradim, of the Baal Korah in Tzfas. So therefore, there's yesh lechatchila, hear your own nusach, and b'dieved, if you hear somebody else's nusach, you're also yoitze. But it then says that if you heard your own nusach, sorry, you heard a different nusach to the one that you're used to, b'dieved you yoitze, lechatchila, have kavona on, the Magen Avraham says, have kavona on Purim morning when we line vayovoy amolek, yeah, have kavona there to be yoitze, just in case there was a problem with your Shmia on Purim, then when they line by Yavoy Amalek in the Kriyas HaTorah before the Megillah on Purim morning, have in mind to be Yotze Parsha Zochar with that.
Started at Turaway, Northwest London, Friday, Yud Ador, 27th of February, Rena Rav Rabbeni Blau Shlita, Rav of Kal Yedidim and also of Beis Medrash Elyon, Parsha theme. This week's Turaway has been sponsored anonymously, Olin Nishmas, our esteemed founder of Yosef Dov Ben, Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zecharonu Livracha.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for inviting me this morning. Looking forward to sharing some thoughts on the parasha and on the general tkufa that we are going through. Tanis Esther, Purim, Shabbos Zocher. I'd like to begin with the first pasuk in this week's parasha. The ato tetzave el es bnei Yisrael. You should be mitzave, you should command bnei Yisrael. Vayikro ilecho shemen zayis zoch. Kosis lamor lahalois ner tomid. You should take shemen zayis, pure olive oil, lahalois ner tomid, to light the ner. Now, I don't know about you, but generally when I light my menorah, or my wife's lighting the Shabbos candles, she doesn't say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidushonu V'Mitzvos V'Tzivonu LaHa'alois Ner Shel Shabbos or LaHa'alois Ner Shel Chanukah. It's LaHadlik. Why does the Pasuk say a Loshon of LaHa'alois? Says Rashi, LaHa'alois Ner Tomid Madlik Ad Shetehei Shal Heves Oilo Me'eileho. You have to light the candle, you have to keep your hand by the wick and make sure that the wick takes light, and only then can you remove your hand from the candle. That's the word leha'alos. You have to make sure that the candle, the flame is, so to speak, elevated. And Rav Hirsch says that we learn from there a merodiki yisoid. Rav Hirsch says, he says, why is it that what's this concept of adshuta heishal heves oile mo'ileh? Why is it so important for the flame to rise by itself? Says Rav Hirsch that this signifies, and I'll say it in his own language, well, not in German, but in his translated language, this signifies that the task of the Torah teacher is to make himself superfluous. Which is an amazing quote. This signifies that the task of the Torah teacher is to make himself superfluous. His task is not to keep his Talmud continually dependent on him. In other words, Rav Hirsch is saying that the point of chinuch, whether it's our child, whether it's our Talmud, is not to make them think like us. It's not to make them be carbon copies of us. But rather the point of chinuch is to give them yesodos and to help them in life so they can think independently based on the chinuch that we have given them. And that's why he says that the task of a Torah teacher is to make himself superfluous, redundant, that the Talmud shouldn't need you anymore at one point. You should give the yesodos to the Talmud or to your child that they can be laha'alos ner Talmud. You know that the menorah represents chachma, Chanukah, chinuch, and therefore we learn so many yesodos of chinuch from the menorah. Says Rav Hirsch, this is one of the yesodos, that we have to be able to empower our children to be laha'alos ner Talmud, that their flame, so to speak, can rise by themselves without being dependent on us as well. And that's a subject which I'd like to speak about today. Just the concept of how to be able to be mechanech our children, to empower our children, to be able to raise our children being healthy, independent people. I'd like to begin with a story. The story takes place around 170 years ago. And a young child comes home from school with a piece of paper in his hand. Child gives the piece of paper to his mother, and his mother takes the paper, reads it, and her eyes well up with tears. And this young boy says, "Mom, what's wrong? What's so bad?" And the mother says, "Well, your teacher just sent me a note, and she wrote that your child is such a genius and so above his peers that we don't have the capabilities of being able to teach him anymore, and therefore please don't send him to school because there is nothing else that we can possibly teach him." Adkan. Many, many years later, this woman dies. And this child is going through her possessions, and he finds this old, aging scrap of paper. And he reads this paper, and this is what it says. "Your child is mentally deficient. Please don't send him to school anymore. We don't have the capabilities of dealing with him." And this child, by then a fully grown man, wrote, "Thomas Alva Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into the genius of the century." Thomas Edison, the famous inventor, scientist. The Chasam Sofer says the most profound lesson in this week's parasha. The Pasuk says, "V'ato tedaber el kol chachmei leiv." You shall speak to all of the chachmei leiv. You shall speak to all who are wise. "Asher milesiv ruach chochma," who I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, with ruach chochma. Again, this seems a double lashon. What's going on here? "V'ato tedaber el kol chachmei leiv." You shall speak to all of the chachmei leiv. You shall speak to all of the chachomim, to all of the intelligent people. "Asher milesiv ruach chochma," who are filled with intelligence. "V'aso esbig de Aaron," they shall make the begodim of Aaron HaKoyim. This pasuk seems to be repeating the same thing. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's not how you read the pasuk. The Chasam Sofer says, you have to read the pasuk as follows: "Va'ato tedaber el kol chachmei leiv." You shall speak to all those who are chachmei leiv, who are wise of heart. And you know what you should tell them? "Asher milesiv ruach chochma." You shall tell them that they are full of chokhmah. They are full of wisdom. They are full of intelligence. Says the Chasam Sofer, help them to take that chokhmah mehakoyach el hapoyel. Help them to realize their own strengths and to use that chokhmah to make the big day koyin gadol. That's how you read the pasuk. That's how you empower a child. That's how you create a leha'alois ner tamid. That's how you make a child feel good, feel confident, feel proud of his abilities, and be able to shine as he gets older. And Chas v'Shalom, on the contrary, you know, giving rebuke, telling somebody off, whether it's a child, whether it's a, you know, you have to say something to a friend or to a spouse or to whoever it is one of the hardest arts to do. And on the one hand, to give, and on the other hand, to receive. In fact, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says in Erechin, Tanya, Omer Reb Tarfon, Erechin Daf, Tes Zayin Omed Beis. Omer Reb Tarfon, Temehani Ani, I wonder, Imiyesh Bedoyer Hazesh Mekabel Teichocha. If there's anyone in this generation who knows how to accept rebuke, Afilo Omalo, because if you tell him, Toil Kisom Ebeni Necho, take the splinter from between your eyes, expression, a euphemism of, you're seeing things wrongly, right? You've got to clear your vision. Oy Meriloi, do you know what he'll respond to you? Toil Korobi, I've got a splinter between my eyes, you've got a beam between your eyes. You know, that's often what we do, we get told off and we have to, you know, go and, you know, get one over there. That's what Reb Tarfon says. Om Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Reb Elazar ben Azariah responded, Temehani im yesh b'dor hazeh sheyodea lehoichiach. I wonder if there's anyone in this generation, not who can receive teichocha. I wonder if there's anyone in this generation who knows how to give teichocha. Is there anyone who knows how to rebuke, but not in a belittling way, not in a demeaning way, but in an empowering way, to make the person feel good? The pasuk in Mishli says, "Al toichach leitz, pen yisno eka." Don't go and tell. The simple understanding is, don't rebuke a leitz, a mocker, a scoffer, because lest he will hate you for it. Hoichach lechochem vayeho vecho. Rather rebuke a chochem, a wise person, and a wise person will love you for it. You find that Shlomo HaMelech, right? The pasuk says, "Ba'atorosh she'itro lo imoy," that on the day that Shlomo HaMelech, on the day of the Chanukah Sabayis, his mother gave him an atorah. And it's interesting because we don't find, if you look through all the pasukim, we don't find his mother giving him any sort of atorah or any sort of crown when he, on the day of the Chanukah Sabayis. So I saw a Merdek of art. Do you know what that Torah that Shlomo HaMelech's mother gave him? Shlomo HaMelech's mother gave him Musa. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that Shlomo HaMelech was drinking too much and he got up too late, and his mother gave it to him over his head, and she tied him to a post, and she was almost starting to whip him. On the day that Shlomo HaMelech, what day? Not when he was a child. The king of Klal Yisrael. On the most auspicious day of his life, the day of the Chanukah Sabayis, and his mother was giving it to him over his head, literally. That was the Atorah She'itru Lo Imoy. It was a crown, because Shlomo HaMelech knew how to accept that. He was a Chochem. He knew how to accept that rebuke with love. That's the simple understanding of the Pasuk. Says the Shlomo HaKadosh, that's not how you read the Pasuk. The Shlomo HaKadosh says, do you know how you read the Pasuk? You read the Pasuk, Al Toichach Leitz. When you give him teichocha, don't say that you are late. You are good for nothing. Nothing will ever come of you. Because if you do that, then pen yisno eka. He's going to hate you for it. No one enjoys, no one can be mekabel teichocha like that. Do you know how you should be mechiach? Hoichach lechochem. Tell him you're a chochem. You are chachmeilev, ashemeleisiv ruach chochma. You've got so much intelligence, you've got so many talents, you've got such abilities. This is not appropriate for someone of your stature, of your bearing. And if you do that, then he'll love you. Then he'll accept that teichacha. He understands that you want what's best for him. We're going to read, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, we're going to lay in Parashat Zohar, the Parashat of Amalek. and the mitzvah, Mochei Timcha Zecher Amalek. Where did Amalek come from? We know that Amalek was a grandson of Esav, the son of Eliphaz. Who was Amalek's mother? Says the Pasuk, V'timna hoysa pilegesh le'Eliphaz ben Esav. Timna was a pilegesh, not a wife. She was a concubine. She was a pilegesh of Eliphaz. V'ateled le'Eliphaz es Amalek. She was the proud mother of Amalek. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, who was this Timna? Timna bas melochim hava. Timna came from a family of kings. She was a princess. Dichsiv aluf loiton. Aluf Timna. Aluf means chiefs, right? She came from a family, an aristocratic family. And he boili igayure. She wanted to become a giyorus. Bosa itzel Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov. She came to Avraham, she came to Yitzchak, she came to Yaakov. V'loi kibluah, they didn't accept her. Holcha v'hoisa pilegesh le'Eliphaz ben Esav. She went and she became a pilegesh to Eliphaz ben Esav. Omra, she said, mutov tehe shifcha le'umazu. I'd rather be a shifcha to a grandson of Avraham, v'loite gevira le'uma acheres, rather than being a noble woman in a different nation. Nofak mina Amalek. She had a child, Amalek, that Tzarinu Yisrael, who has pained Klal Yisrael more than anyone else has ever pained Klal Yisrael. Why? Asks the Gemara. My timer. Why did she have Amalek? Deloi iboi lehu l'rachoyko. They shouldn't have distanced her. Now, I heard you saying that they refused her. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says they shouldn't have distanced her. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov might have had a good cheshbon why they refused her. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, after all, were Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And they obviously understood that she had the tchunas hanefesh of being the future mother of Amalek, but obviously she wasn't appropriate to be somebody who we could accept in Klal Yisrael. And perhaps they were right. But the Gemara says, lo yiboiluhu l'rachoyko. They shouldn't have distanced her, said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. They shouldn't have rejected her. They shouldn't have made her feel rejected. They shouldn't have made her feel small, feel distanced. And because she felt rejected, because she felt distanced, she had Amalek. Amalek, who are the epitome of kriros, of feeling cold and distant. Asher korcha baderech. Do you know why she had Amalek? Because the Ovos shouldn't have rejected Timna. Look at what can happen from somebody who feels, instead of feeling empowered, they feel rejected. They feel demeaned. They feel put down. If we go through the haftarah tomorrow of this entire conversation between Shmuel and Shaul, where Shmuel tells Shaul, you've got to kill the whole Amalek. And Shaul says, Akimoisius Dvar Hashem. Yeah, I've done it. I've spared a few animals and a gog, but overall, Pachsa Yaisa. And what does Shmuel tell Shaul? Well, first of all, what does Shaul tell Shmuel? Shaul blames it on the people. They forced me into it. They told me they need some animals, Lizbeach El Hashem. They want to bring korbanos, and there's a cheshbon for Agog as well, and we're going to kill him, barabim, and they're going to make a big spectacle out of him. It's not me, it's the people, it's them. And what does Shmuel tell Shaul? Im haloi im koton ato be'einecho. Why are you so small in your eyes? Roish shifti Yisrael ato. Rosh shifti Yisrael ato. You are the head of Klal Yisrael. You are the king. Says the Radak and many other Mepharshim, Shmuel was telling Shaul, why are you listening to them? Don't you realize who you are? Don't you realize how choshev you are? That's how you give rebuke. That's how you help somebody. By telling them, Rosh Shifti Yisrael ato. And eventually you see that Shaul, slowly but surely, not immediately, accepts that teichacha. And eventually he says, Chatosi. We find, many generations later, another interaction. This time, not between Shmuel and Shaul, but between Mordechai and Esther. Esther tells Mordechai what's going on. There's a gezeira coming up in 11 months. La hashmid, la harigul, abid, is kol ha-yehudim. And Mordechai tells Esther, you've got to act, you've got to do something about it. Go to Achashverosh. And what does Esther answer? Kol avdei ha-melech ve'amedinos ha-melech yodim. Everyone in the palace knows, asher kol ish ve'isha asher yoveh el ha-melech el ha-chotz ha-pnimis asher lo yikori achas tosu lo-homis levad ma asher yesh le ha-melech ha-sharit ha-zol. If you go to the melech without being called, without being summoned, that's it, off with your head. And then she says, va'ani lo-yinik kreisi loveh el ha-melech zesh lo-yishim yoyim. I haven't yet been called to speak to the melech for 30 days, so he's going to call me in any minute. What's the rush? It's 11 months from now, the Gezerah. What's the big deal? What does Mordechai answer? Vayomer Mordechai lehoshiv el Esther. And he says as follows. Al tadami benafsheich lehimolit beis hamelech mikol ha-yehudim. First of all, you're not going to get out of it. You're going to be... If we go down, you're going to go down. But then he says, ki em hachreish tacharishi bo'eis hazois. If you keep silent, the Eden will get saved. The Eden are going to get saved. But the at ubeis ovich toivedu. You and your father's household will be lost. What does that mean? You and your father's household. Who's your father's household? Says the Alshich. You know what Mordechai was telling Esther? Mordechai was telling Esther, your great great grandfather, Shaul, he should have stepped up and killed Amalek for good and got rid of Amalek for good. But he didn't believe in himself enough. He didn't have the confidence to say, I'm not going to listen to people to people in Klal Yisrael telling me what to do. I'm the king. And I'm going to do what I think is right and what Shmuel has told me, B'Shem Hashem. Mordechai was telling Esther, yes, you're saying Va'ali loinik kreisi love el ha-melech, but just go and do it. You are the one who can save Klal Yisrael, and not only can you save Klal Yisrael, you can go and save you can be masakin what your elder Zayda did, Shaul, by not stepping up and by not doing what he had to do and getting rid of the whole Amalek. You have the chance to go and do that now. You can be not just do what's right now, you can even be masakin what Shaul went and did. That's va'at ubeis avich toivedu. So as we go from Parashas Tetzaveh into Parashas Kisisa, and on Monday, Bezus Hashem, we're going to go give a machtzis ha-shekel as a zecha for the machtzis ha-shekel that we gave for the karbonos. And it's very interesting, the first pasuk in next week's sedra. First pasuk says, Kisisa es roish b'nei Yisrael lifkudeyan. Right? When you, literally people translate it as when you count. Kisisa es roish b'nei Yisrael lifkudeyan. V'nosna ish kaif anafshay l'ashem. Okay, everyone should give a kaif anafshay. But the Maral points out, this loshen of kisisa is a strange loshen. What does sisa literally mean? Kisisa doesn't mean to count. It would say ufkoid. Right? Kisifkoid. What's kisisa? Says the Maharal, sisa means nesia. It means to elevate, to lift up. Meloshe nesia mamash. Omru, he brings the Medrash Tanchuma. Omru Yisrael, tachas shehoyinu chayov mlecho haromas roish. Because really, you are, was after the eagle. And really there should be haromas roish. You should be decapitated. You should be killed. Nosatolonu tolui roish. Shenema kisiso es roish. Instead of literally taking off our heads, you have lifted our heads. As we find by Yosef, by the Sar Hamashkin and the Sar Ha'oifim. It says, Yiso paroi roishcho, voishivcho al kanecho. That was said to the Sar Hamashkin. Yiso paroi al roishcho. He will lift up your head. Had a very similar loshen to the other one. Yiso pari es roishcho me'olecha. Yiso can mean to take off your head or to raise you up. Says the Maharal, do you know what Klal Yisrael are being told here? They were being told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to count each and every one of you. Not because, as Rashi says, just as an act of love. That's how Rashi understands it. Why would Kaddish Yisrael constantly be encountered? It was an act of chibah, like a shepherd who counts his sheep. You want to constantly know how many sheep you have. Says the Maharal, no. Do you know why Kaddish Yisrael were counted? To let them know that you count. Each and every one of you is a unique number. Each and every one of you is required. Each and every one of you have a nesias roish. You're being told that you're important. And if you're important, you've got to know that if you don't reflect that importance, you don't do what you're supposed to do as a yid, then chas v'sholem is haromas roish. But that's giving chashivas. It's not just counting. If you can give a moshel, you've got a guy who's just made his first £1 million. He's going to count each pound lovingly, wow, till he gets to a million. Beautiful. If you take £1 away, it'd still be okay. You won't be a millionaire, it'll be okay. If you've got a guy who needs to pay his utility bill, if he doesn't have £500 by the end of the week, his gas is, his electricity is being cut off, his gas is being cut off. If you take a pound away, he needs that pound. He can't live without that pound. Rashi's is the millionaire. It's love, it's chibah, beautiful. But the Maharal saying, no, it's like that person who needs you. He needs every single pound. It's kisiso. It's when you elevate. You've got to elevate Klal Yisrael and tell them that each of you is important. Based on that, actually, the Maharal says, Emerdek Chiddush. Maharal says that Rashi and the Ramban in next week's parasha, the long Ramban, they discussed something very interesting. There were two counts, pashtus, in the Midbar. There was one that took place, right, after the Chet Ve'egel, after Yom Kippur. There was another one in Bamidbar, which takes place on Rosh Chodesh Iyar Bashana Hashemis. Now there's something very, very strange. In both counts, the amount of men between the age of 20 and 60 are how many? 603,550. Very strange. There's no Shalom Zachar, there's no Kiddushin, there's no... In 7 months, the number does not change from 603,550. What's going on? So there's various pshatim. Rashi wants to say that since when you're counting age, you don't start from Nisan, you start from Tishri. So therefore, the counting of Yom Kippur and the counting of Nisan were in the same year, and they were counting from the beginning of the year. But the Ramban doesn't like that, because still, how does it make sense that nobody was born during that Tkufa? It doesn't make sense. The Ramban wants to give a different pshat. The Ramban says that Shevet Levi were in the first count, but not in the second count. And all the people who were born during that 7 months sort of replaced the Levium. But again, it's too coincidental, says the Maharal, that punk, the amount of Levium who were missing from the second count, should be replaced by the people in the first count. And secondly, all about the people that went over the age of 60. He doesn't like the Ramban or Rashi. There's too many, you know, anomalies about saying that the number is exactly the same. The Maharal says a huge chiddush. He says, he argues with Rashi and the Ramban, and he says there were not two counts in the Midbar. There was only one count. The count in Bamidbar. Where there, it doesn't say Kisiso. What does it say there? It says Sa'u. Count, or elevate. Here it's just saying Kisiso. When you count, this is the way you should do it. Take a machtis shekel from each person, and that's how you should do the counting, in order that there shouldn't be an iron horror. But be'etzem, there was only one count, not two counts. Says the Maharal, yeah. Yeah, because if you're counting, not just as an act of love, but to show that you're important, there has to be a reason for that counting. There's no point in just counting again and again and again. You're telling the person, we need you. You are intrinsic, you are integral, you are important. And therefore we are counting you. There's no point in counounting you again. Therefore the Maharal is saying, Betzner was only one count. Su'u, which was in Bamidbar. In this week, or next week's parasha, Machtza Shekel, that's saying how to do it when you count. Kisiso, take a Machtza Shekel from each person. A Be'etzin, there was only one count, because the Maharal is Lishetosei, how the point of counting is to elevate a person and to show a person how choshev he is. So I think if there's one lesson that we can take from Purim, from Amolik, from Shabbos Zohar, from the Machtza Shekel, from this week's parasha Tetzaveh, it's this lesson that we're required sometimes to reproach people, to to admonish people to tell them off, whether it's our children, and even our friends, our spouse. But you've got to know how to do it. You can empower them. If in the days of Reb Tarfon and Reb Elazar ben Azariah, they were saying, "Timiani hani," I don't know if anyone knows how to give Teichocha. In fact, I'll tell you something else very briefly. There's a, in the back of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he brings a kuntras called Marganisa Tova from Reb Yonos and Volina. It's called the Marganisa Tova. It's in the back of the Chofetz Chaim. And he says as follows. He says, he quotes the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch says, the Pasuk says, Leisisna asachicha bilvavecha. You're not allowed to hate your fellow friend. Hoicheach teichiach is amisecha. Rather, you should rebuke him. But the Gemara famously says, somebody who is mamash a rasha, you're allowed to hate. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, you're only allowed to hate him, I'll quote his lashon, achar shenoichiach oisom al chetom harbe pa'omim v'loi rotze lachzer behem. After you have given teichacha multiple times and they haven't been willing to do teshuvah. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Says Reb Yonos and Volina, ve'ein badoir hazeh mi sheyodea lohichiach. This is 150 years ago, 200 years ago. There's no one in this generation who knows how to be mechiach. Maybe had this Rasha had somebody who empowered him, instead of belittling him, instead of demeaning him, he would have accepted the Teichacha. And therefore, he says, you're not allowed to hate anybody. You're not allowed to hate Chas v'Shalom, any Jew nowadays, because you don't know if he was ever given proper Teichacha, if he was ever empowered, instead of being demeaned. And that's the lesson. Never ever Chas v'Shalom reject a person. Demean a person, make a person feel down. Yes, there's a mitzvah of echiach techiach. We've got to, you can't turn a blind eye to everything. You've got to sometimes say something to people. But do it with respect. Do it by raising them. Do it by making them feel choshev. And Bezos Hashem, it won't be hoicheach, al techiach let penis necha, by echiach chochem yalvecha, or increase ava, vireus. Wishing you all a very good Shabbos and a Friedrich and Peru.
Svasemis today follows up on perfectly on the words of our Chushev Baldarshan today when he introduces the words Kusus Lamur Loi Kusus Lemenuchas, that in fact the olives that were selected for the Menorah were Kusus Lamur. They were pulverized so that they should shine brightly, but not only suitable for the menorah, that to be crystal clear, but not for the purpose of menuchas, which were of a degree in lesser quality. So in the backdrop of what was just said, he said that sometimes a person rebukes another one, and he does so, could be for one of two reasons. Either he does so because he wants to pulverize the other one, decimate him, knock him down to the ground, and or he wants really to tell him that he expects of him, and he assumes, and he's got the expectations that this person is actually going to grow from the rebuke. So says Hasemes, Kusis Lamur. If you're knocking him down, Lamur, as a Zolachten, that there's going to be a bright light that is going to shine from within him as a result of him being able to reflect on your rebuke, that is wonderful. That is a purposeful oil. But V'loi Kusis Lemenuchas, not if you're going to break him, Lemenuchas, it is going to come to Menicha, so to speak, to forsake it all and say, ah, what the heck, I'll never manage anyway, and nothing is going to become of me. And maybe he's right, and I'm a useless, uncontributing individual. So this was just as a follow-on, but on the Enkidah of Hachayish Tachrishi Bo'es HaZoyes, which also Abba Dash mentioned, so let me follow on also in a thought on that. You know that the Pusik says in the Megillah clearly, Ein Esther Magedes Moiladato. Esther will not reveal where she is born from. She will not tell Achashverosh her familial origins. And it seems to be that there's a masoga of shtika, something to do with silence that permeates, so to speak, the family of Esther Mordechai, which goes all the way back to Rucha Limani, because she was also one who practiced this middah of shtika. Where do we see it? Because she gave over her simunim to her sister, and she didn't reveal the fact to Yaakov Avini that he's marrying the wrong lady. The stone that represented Binyamin in this week's Seder was Yoshfe. Some people call it Jasper, I think, maybe it's loosely translated. But Yoshpe also has the meaning of Yeshpe. He has a mouth. Yeshpe means that he's somebody who knows information, who is privy to information, and yet will not reveal that information, will contain it within themselves. And Binyamin, not only did he have a mother who was the Ruch Limayni, who was the quintessential Shaskin, who was able to be silent, but he himself, according to Rabbi Nebuchai, also explores the fact that he knew about Mechiras Yosef, he knew what his brothers were guilty of, and yet he did not divulge to Yaakov Avini ever that his brothers were actually the cause of why he's going through so many years of grief and torment. Memaile, the Yeshpeh means Yoshpeh. Yeshpeh, he has a mouth and he has the knowledge, and yet he is not going to share this knowledge. He's going to remain silent. Fregt der Heilige Chedesherim, on the face of it, it should be the other way around. It should be called Einpeh, the opposite. He hasn't got a mouth because he's learned to be silent, and therefore the connotation of the words Yoshpeh is the opposite. Sukta Chedesherim, no. If you speak about Yaakov Avini again as Ishtom Yoshev Ahulim, you'd think about him as Ishtom, Tmimistike Mensch, Bankquetsche, somebody who sits all day in Yeshiva is Yoshev Ahulim. But what does he know about the commercial savvy in the world and the cunning that accompanies people when they go into business, and he has to go into a house of a crook par excellence called Luvon, and yet he managed fine. And he says, don't worry, he's a crook, but we learn how to deal with people like this too. Im chusit is chasot, im ikesh titapol, as the Pusik says in Tilim. Memaile, Ishtom is representing somebody who is shoylet on the Tamimas. In essence, he is a glache, elache mensch. He is tom. He is straight as a ruler. But he also knows how to apply the middah of akmimius, grimkeiten, when necessary, when he is up against a fellow like Luvon Arami. And memaile, that starts when somebody is shoylet on a middah, then he is the ish tom. Similarly, says the Chedesherim, when you have the word Yoshpeh means that people who are really may have a mouth, but there's very many times that through that mouth slips many things that they shouldn't say, should eat, shouldn't eat, should discuss, shouldn't discuss, should divulge, maybe they shouldn't. So they're not really entirely in control of that mouth. So therefore, the ein peh would be that you haven't got the mouth, that you're not in control of it. Yesh peh, as in yosh peh, means no. I have a mouth and I am fully in control of what is coming out of it and what I'm saying and what I'm reporting. And even if I know many things, I know what I'm not going to say. Memaile, that was so appropriate and suitable for Binyamin. Is Memaile, we understand from there why Chachumim are called, the Gemur that we learn is called Torah Shebal Peh. It was created by people who had mouths and they knew exactly how to use them, how to apply their mouths, and how to use them specifically for Dvurim Shebal Kedisha and for Torah. Memaile, it's called Torah Shebal Peh. I should help them so Zerchazan to the Plach Shel Shtike. Shabbos.